You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Season 3, the premiere of Season 3 of Josh Swallow's Broadway. You can't see it right now, but Alan is dancing. He's dancing. And also, fun fact, he had a European hornet infestation, I guess, at his place in Long Island. He's showing it to me. He kept one of them. It's no longer with us, but this thing is like at least an inch long. It is terrifying. It is like, thank goodness Halloween is right around the corner, because that is the scariest shit I have ever seen. Hi,
hey,
Alan.
Josh.
How are you?
I'm good now that I don't have any more European hornets in my ceiling.
Jesus, European hornets. I've always found Europeans to be like sexier than anybody else on Earth. Like,
but you
I
should
would
see
just,
the size of their stingers.
Oh, ba-dum-bum-bump. You can catch us in the Catskills all next week. So I'm so excited. First of all, thank you to our Patreon community. Without all of y'all, season 3 would not have happened. So we are in your debt. We love you. I'm so excited. The first Zoom party of the season is happening tomorrow. I can't wait to see everybody. But this first episode is very, very, very special to me. As you know, Alex Wise is a dear friend of the show, and he and Ben Fankhauser have written a new musical. It's the first new musical opening in New York since the shutdown. So we have the cast, him, Brianna, and Ben, and I can't wait to share all that with you. And also, speaking of upcoming shows and things that I think are important right now, I think it's so important to support whatever artists you can, and if you're
in any way you can,
including Venmoing me $50,000 that I can't give back. But so one artist, a dear friend of mine, Allison Gwynn, we were in Hair together on Broadway. We played opposite together on Broadway in Hair. She also was on the Town on Broadway. Her show, The Incredible, The Legacy of Daisy Dean, is going to be at Green Room 42 on November 4th at 7 p.m. She plays the auto harp. She's remarkable at it, and she's just incredible. I highly suggest it. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us for Season 3, and here's the show! Josh Swallows. Hello, everybody. Okay, so if you're listening and not watching, you have to know we are in a meeting room above the Daryl Roth Theater where the brilliant A Commercial for Regina Comet is playing. We are 6 feet away at a long table. It's like that scene in Mommy Dearest when she's like, I own 50% of this company or whatever. Like, you're all fired. But it also has a schoolroom feel, like there's an American flag. I was like, should I make everybody do the Pledge of Allegiance? And so everybody knows we're being really, really fucking safe. We have a COVID safety manager here who's taking pictures, but that's okay. This is not an Equity production.
Wait, it's not?
I need to call my agent. No, the show, my show. Your show is super Equity. It's so Equity.
I'm relieved.
Alan, get a shot of, look at this. This is the show that you need to come see.
A commercial jingle for Regina Comet.
I wonder who wrote it. Could it be Alex Wise and Ben Fankhauser?
Hi.
And Brie Marie.
Yes.
Brianna Marie, you play Regina Comet.
I do.
You are out of this world.
Go on.
I will. I'm obsessed with you. Not only are you fucking hilarious.
See?
But
what's funny is no one ever said you weren't.
It was only me.
You're the funniest person I know.
Look, you're so funny, and your voice.
Thank you.
I mean, it's insane. I imagine you being a baby and instead of crying, just being like, hey, and your parents being like, we're going to exploit the shit out of this. Our baby's going
to
be a star.
Actually, no, they wanted me to be a lawyer or a nurse.
That's yeah. My yeah. mom wanted me to be a cantor. And
a church?
Well, synagogue.
Forever?
Yeah, and you know, I was like, that's not
this room is temple.
Yeah, but obviously that didn't happen, and I'm a big disappointment to all.
I continue to be disappointed by you every day, Josh.
It's so hard for me having you so far away. I'm like a little baby that can't reach his mommy. So Ben and Alex, how do you guys know each other?
Well, we grew up together in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right. Were you guys like frenemies that when the JCC did Little Women? Were you both up
we
for
were
competitive?
No, actually,
yeah, we both wanted the role of Joe March.
No, we were not frenemies. We were Alex is a year or two older than me, and
well, clearly,
yeah,
well,
yes. And it shows no around offense. My eyes, especially.
No offense, but you need to moisturize, okay?
On our
seriously, okay,
yeah, and we did you know some youth theater together, and I feel like I always looked up to Alex. Aww. I would never tell him that, but
oh,
I feel
come
like
on.
I up
that's really sweet. Yeah. What youth theater did you do together?
Heights Youth Theater, we mostly did, and also Stagecrafters a little bit.
I want the name of the shows.
Oh, Oliver. We were billed above the title and we were, Oliver.
Yeah, no. We both, I think when we met is when we did Oliver together.
Yeah.
I was probably, you know, 13 or so. You were, I guess, 12.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Give or take a few months.
Yeah, Alex was Fagin. I was in the ensemble.
What?
With a featured role.
Okay.
Yeah, you were Noah. Were you Noah Claypool? That's right. And I was Fagin because I couldn't find an adult. And they were like, this is a small Jewish character actor. Yeah. And I was like, I'll do it. And my voice had just changed. And as Ben
and
tells the story.
Yeah, the old age makeup. He had blackout in every other tooth.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he really tried. Full fantasy,
did
you know.
Have that huge, like, Bengay box of, like, you know, when you're
it's like a fishing tackle box. Yeah. And you open it and it's full of makeup.
And you write all the shows that you're in, like, on the sign.
Oh, yeah.
Reed, did you do shows growing up too?
Say it again.
Did you do junior theater and stuff growing up?
I didn't. I did a million choirs. I did because I went to an all-girls private school. So I did the all-girls choir. I did the women's choir at church, the gospel choir, the teen choir.
Oh my
and
God.
I did varsity singers, which was our show choir.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Varsity.
Yeah.
I also lettered in choir.
Exactly.
And my mom was like, do you want a Letterman jacket? And I was like, do you want me to get murdered? Like, no. I'm only bisexual right now. Like... Like, no, not at all. And I did Oliver when I was a kid at San Diego Junior Theater. I was the knife grinder, but I couldn't sing.
Many knives to grind.
I couldn't sing it because it was so low. Right. So I took it up the octave. I was like, any knives to grind.
Yes. That's really
and
upsetting.
Just like super pingy with like a little riff. And are we being too loud?
Not you.
Okay.
Just the COVID people over here.
I like hearing them laugh.
I told them to be quiet.
You're a mean.
How
I know.
How dare you? Yeah. We need them.
No. They keep us safe. But, you know, we want clean audio.
That's where it is.
We want clean audio.
I know. I want you guys to laugh, please. My cats won't even look at me anymore. I'm so lonely. Nobody's retweeting my shit. It's really depressing.
That's
so
awful.
Please laugh at me.
You should yell more online. People will retweet you.
Yeah.
Start getting like violently yelling.
Or
and
just
then you'll then people
tweeting
will
things like spread love and kindness.
Yeah.
A heart emoji, and then everybody would be like, you're so positive. And I'm like, I was going to take my life this morning, but now I won't. When did you guys, what made you come up with this idea?
I was leaving an audition that had gone quite poorly, probably at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. And Ben and I, you know, we grew up together and then, you know, we were really close, I think, in college. And then through our 20s, we were doing so many different things and, you know, kind of on our own paths. And then we were really brought back together and became very close again when we did the show, The Flamingo Kid. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the story of our friendship. And I think the two of us were also very interested in a story about friendship and about collaborating because we, had experience as collaborators and as friends who were close and not close at times. And I think that was just a poignant story to us. And so I called him after this audition and said, "Hi, I hate my career. Please write something with me." I remember Ben said to me, like, "I'm not a writer." And I said, "You are absolutely wrong about that. And I will show you how wrong you are." And because Ben is so brilliant, just so brilliant and clever and unbelievable with music especially, but also just one of the most naturally funny people that I know. So we started writing mostly just about friendship and about performing, and we thought, well, we want to do something together, but no one wants to just watch the two of us. Who's the third person who's on stage with us? Mm-hmm. And we kind of dreamed up this thing about how could two friends have this explosive moment over something. We thought it'd be really funny to write something about something inconsequential, like a commercial jingle, but make it this life-altering moment for three characters. So how can we take something so small and make it feel so big? And so we kind of found our way through many twisty avenues to this story of three people who were at this crossroads in their lives, and about them collaborating, being creative, finding themselves, going in and out of friendship, all the things that felt really important to Ben and me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you tell that story about like having a audition go wrong and call me up. I'm like, I remember you, if I may,
please,
being nearly in tears, being like, no one wants to hear from me, which is insane because you're so gifted and unbelievable. And like, just, and, you know, we had just closed this show and we were in between gigs, and you know how it is. It's, you're mostly unemployed. So we were like, we're sick of waiting for the phone to ring. We're sick of waiting for auditions. We want to make something. And you know, the element of like relevance, the ultimate question is like, have we lost our relevance? Like, where do we fit in the business? And so channeling that through Regina's character was really cathartic for me and helpful to sort of like work that out among the themes of friendship and collaboration, creativity. And I remember like our first idea of what we could make together was like some concert. We were like, maybe we'll do like a 54 Below show.
And yeah,
we'll
that was the first idea.
Or something. And then it quickly evolved into a story and a book musical and a three-hander. And before we knew it, this musical had poured out of us. And
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I think it's for your listeners, I am a Black woman. And I find it really amazing that two Jewish boys sat down and wrote a show that is sort of a vehicle for a Black woman. Yeah. And I wondered if you'd always had that, or if that came out of the pandemic, or like, was that always the idea?
That was always the idea.
That was always the idea.
Amazing.
I think there's something in wanting to be heard and not being heard, that I feel in myself as a gay man. I think Ben and I both feel in ourselves as performers, sometimes as Jews. And I think that we can recognize in a Black woman's story. And so we thought that's another great way to bring that story to the forefront. And also, I mean, that's a great way to do a three-hander that feels like there's a variety of people and a variety of voices, a variety of stories that feels honest and exciting, I think. And so that's what we wanted to do.
Yeah. Love your work.
Love your work.
Well, and it's beautiful, especially like, Brie, how you play the role. For our listeners at home, it's the show's about Regina Comet, who was a major, major star, and now is at that point in her career where she's not as relevant and she has a fragrance coming out. They need to make a jingle for the fragrance where these two hilarious men come in. And but there
ReginaComet.com.
Yeah. ReginaComet.com. But it wasn't negative. It's so positive in how you portray it. And it's just like a breath of fresh air and something that we don't see in theater every day, because I think conflict becomes such a big part of this. And it's just an incredibly talented woman making her way in this business in hilarious ways. One of my favorite parts of the show, I think, is when you and Ben are sitting and I think you like ask him if he's straight or something.
Yeah.
Or like you're like, oh, I just thought that you were gay. And he's like, no, I'm straight. I just identify as gay culturally. Like that is one of the best, most hilarious lines I've ever heard in my entire life. And also, I don't want to get the name of the song wrong. And the playbill is hilarious. The overture from Gypsy, the right. exit music from Stomp.
Yeah, you know, it's not the actual overture from Gypsy. It just has the same title, and we're not sure who named it. You yeah. know,
it's pure coincidence.
It's a total coincidence that yeah. it was named the overture from Gypsy, but you know, it's just a coincidence.
The yeah. girl beneath the lasers.
You loved it.
I cried.
Oh my God.
It was spectacular.
Well, you know, when they brought me on board, they said, you know, we've tailored the show for us, our humor, our comedy, our timing, and we want a collaborator, which meant a lot to me because I always have very strong thoughts and opinions about what I'm working on, and I don't always get to voice them. So it was really nice to be in a room where the guys were just like, tell us what you think about this journey. And no one's going to know it better than me who has to track it scene to scene. And they said, you know, Girl Beneath the Lasers, we really want to have a moment where we get to see her vulnerability. She's very much on the whole show, but we need to see a moment where she gets to identify with other man.
Man 2.
Ben plays Man 2 and I play Other Man.
Yeah.
Those are our character names. Yeah, continue.
So it meant a lot to be able to sort of open up, break open in that song. And it's tricky. It's really tricky because there's lots of tricks and surprises in that song. But I think it's been doing what it's supposed to, just dropping in a dose of reality in the
yeah.
show. Mm-hmm. Goes, this is why we're all here. Let's remember why we're here. Relevance, meaning, purpose, which is why we're all in the room anyway as artists.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Well, also, like, don't we all have those experiences of, like, what it means to be on stage, what it means to get a laugh, like,
yeah.
how that fills part of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so, so beautifully done. Now, how did you end up meeting Alex and Ben?
I, over Zoom. They reached out to me about this in what? Like not that long ago. Like maybe
like
4 months ago.
In the yeah. spring or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. And I had been sent the script and this is funny, can I say?
Yeah.
So I read it and I was like, pass. Because because Regina was not fully fleshed out yet. And I said, I don't know if it's right. And I don't know these guys. So I didn't know they were going to be so wonderful and warm and open to change. And they reached out and said, can we have a Zoom? Can we talk about this? So we got on the Zoom and we spent about an hour just discussing the character. Mm-hmm. And they were so warm and sweet and their little smiles and their little Jewish faces. And I just was like, I remember I came out of the closet and my husband went, how'd they take it? And I went, well, I'm going to do it. Because I fell in love with them. And I knew the room would be so warm. And after having a year and a half off, all you want to do is be in a room with people who value your voice mm-hmm. and your talent and respect each other. So I'm so happy we took it, but we literally met maybe 4 months ago on Zoom.
Wow.
Yeah. We knew Bree's work and we're
love that.
Huge.
Yeah.
And we were just huge fans of what you do. And we were trying to think of who would be someone who could bring what we wanted. And also we knew we really wanted to meet you too, because we wanted someone who had strong opinions and mm-hmm. who had a point of view. And the fact that you initially passed was like, okay, well, that makes Ben and me want to step up. What can we do to make this better? How can we, like the same, you kind of said this, but the same way we tailored our roles to us, we hadn't yet had a collaborator mm-hmm. To do that for. And we needed someone to bring their experience and personality and what's funny on Bree. And then we can write toward that and make Regina all that she is. And
yeah, that was like the missing yeah. piece of the puzzle. And even in our meeting too, like you're such a funny person. We knew that you were going to be able to like just do such great things with the material just because of like who you are.
Well, that's one thing I'm really proud of is you guys are so funny. They're so funny. And in the rehearsal room, they get all the laughs. And I remember being in rehearsal and going, oh, I'm not funny. They've got it worked out. But it actually, what I'm hearing from people is that our brands of comedy actually meld really well together.
They're very complimentary.
Especially in the way of the story of me being the pop star and y'all being the two writers that have known each other forever. It really works. So I'm very proud of the show. I put on my Instagram yesterday, I was like, if I told you to come or not to come during previews, I changed my mind. Because I just think what we built is so awesome and special and really nice right now in this time. People want to laugh. People want to feel happy, yeah. You know, and this is a show that does it.
It was so nice. Because, yeah, this, I mean, for everyone, including you fellow listeners, that, I mean, what a terrible, terrible fucking like 19 months or however long eternity this has been. You know, the majority of it spent in my apartment with my stupid cats that won't cuddle me, you know, and not just sitting in a theater, but literally forgetting your problems. Mm. You know, like walking in, being like, oh, it's humid. Oy. And then you sit down and like it all just disappeared. And it was like that for everybody in the theater. Everybody was blown away. And I mean, as soon as the lights went out, everybody just stood up. It wasn't one of those things where like one person stands and then another person is like, okay, well now I have to stand. It was like a universal ovation and it was so well deserved.
That's really nice to hear. I mean, we want to make people happy and we want to make people laugh and forget about the troubles of this world, but at the same time connect to the idea of following your dreams and finding your place. Like those are stories I think we all go through. And so that's what this is about. But like, with so many jokes and laughs and fun music. And like, that's the intention, is we just want to make people happy and kind of connect to their humanity.
What I loved, because, you know, I know you pretty well, was when something was really funny and I could see like everybody on stage just like, not breaking at all, but just that like close step where it's like there could be some cast line. Laughter happening.
We're walking a line at all times.
All times.
It's so, so funny. So did you write the majority of this during lockdown?
Yeah.
I would say, when you were just talking about how difficult the last 19 months were, I was just thinking what a blessing this show was, at least for me and Alex, because it gave us purpose every day. We were on Zoom nearly every day working on some aspect of it. And I think it went through its transformation during the lockdown.
Yeah, we had like a good sketch of it before the lockdown. And we were like, okay, I guess this is the show. But then lockdown happened and it became so, so, so much more. We wrote 10 new songs. We wrote it. It was totally different. And a lot of that, I got to say, is thanks to our director, Marshall Paylette, who really, really helped us find the story and he helped us shape things. And, you know, he would read things with us and
help us see the big picture too. You know, we could get so lost in those little moment to moments and working on jokes and bits and little funny things. And he would always remind us, let's zoom out. Like, what is this, you know, moment serving? And that would really help us shape things as well.
I loved all the moments that you all had individually as characters too. I mean, just like with the laser song, it was just so exciting and so fresh and so just fantastic. I really, like, I'm praying that there's a cast recording that happens because I want to listen to it all the time. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Listeners, I love you. Welcome back to the podcast season 3. All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Well, did you like those commercials? Yeah, me too. They were great. They didn't feature me. Yeah. What the fuck, Alan? They should have. But anyway, we're back here. Hi, everybody, again.
Hi.
Now, I'm excited that we get to share one of the songs from the show. Alex, tell me about the song.
Oh, are we going to play one hit song?
I think so.
Okay, amazing.
Ooh, fabulous.
Well, this is a song that Ben and my unnamed characters sing. And this is a song that's about the dream that we have. We're stuck writing these commercial jingles, which you can find out more at reginacomet.com, a commercial jingle for Regina Comet. Buy our vodka. but we're stuck writing these jingles and we just want to write something that feels real. And so this song is our attempt to do that.
Awesome. All right, Alan, let's play it.
Take a notebook, close your eyes. Point to any page, pick a couplet, fantasize. It happens on a stage. Every new pursuit is scary, but we've got all night. Grab your rhyming dictionary. That's the way to ride that one hit song.
What if I don't feel it?
One hit song.
Maybe we can steal it.
I think it won't be long. On the way to one hit song.
Look, I wish the notes came faster, but it takes me time, and this notebook's a disaster. Writing's more than rhyme, plus a spark is not a fire. Hey, that's kind of smart. Drop a beat and add a choir. That's the way to start that one hit song.
Now we're really moving.
One hit song.
Gotta get the groove.
I know we can't go wrong. On the way to one hit song,
we'll hit number one where we're meant to be. Cause I am the music and you are the key. It's just like we planned back when we were young. We knew that our story was meant to be sung. Get ready, set, we're on.
Sweating,
no, you're glowing.
A toast to our careers,
and we'll shower in their praises, wrapping up the plot.
All because our song amazes. So let's see what we've got.
Great, let's see it.
You go first.
Weren't you typing?
I'm the worst.
We got nothing.
Guess we're stuck.
How'd this happen?
Just our luck. Don't wanna say so long.
So long.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
That was amazing!
These transitions!
Oh, God. You see, we're recording this, so, and that was a recording, so we didn't really just hear it, but gentle audience, it's amazing. One of my favorite songs in the show. What is it like being the first musical back in New York, the first original musical to be up and running back in New York after all this craziness?
A little scary, just on the COVID protocol part, because yeah. You don't know if people feel safe to come back in the theaters, if they want to wear the masks, excuse me, if somebody gets COVID, one of us gets COVID, or somebody on the crew gets,
Knock on wood.
I mean, we're praying, but you know, that is always in the back of our head that this could be over in a second. So just to like live and enjoy and be in the moment with each other and just try to get everybody to see it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Now we're of course hoping to be here and through November, but, yeah, for me, the COVID part is a little scary.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's a big task being like, okay, I guess we're the first people to bring some joy and creativity mm-hmm. back to the people. Hopefully we do a good job at that. Hopefully people like what they're seeing, you know. But at the same time, on the other side of the coin, it's like, we were born for this, baby.
Oh, yes. Know? Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm trying. Every day I'm just incredibly thankful I get to do the thing. So that's all I can really do is just every day I'm thankful that we get to do a commercial jingle for Regina Comet at reginacomet.com.
No, I've thought about that a lot too, because it's easy, especially when you're working, it's easy to get run down. It's easy to get a little jaded when you're doing like 8 shows a week, understudy rehearsals on top of that, the fucking MTA, you know, on top of that. And it's like the pandemic taught me or reminded me about how much I love doing what we do and how important it is to me, how it's such a huge part of my life. And so, you know, it was really special being in a theater, seeing a new show without, like, I didn't know anything about it really. I heard some songs that you played for me, Alex, that I loved.
Yeah, I played you at the beginning of lockdown. I played you a song on the piano over Zoom. I played him say goodbye, the duet that Ben missed. Nice. Yeah, I was like, we just finished this. Do you want to hear a song Ben and I just wrote? And I played you a little song. I remember that so well. It was like one of the first weeks of lockdown.
God, thank God for you during lockdown. Oh. I called him crying so many times over this, over that period. And also, I'm just so proud of all of you. And Alex, like, you inspire me with, like, you never stop writing. Between this and a movie that you wrote and then got produced and filmed over the lockdown too?
Yes. Well, I'm just, you know, trying to write my way out of my existential dread, I guess. But the greatest joy for me, like in the world, you know, more than like me having a moment, and I don't mean this as I'm some kind of Mother Teresa here, but I feel so excited when something that I've made, something that Ben and I have made, is giving a platform for somebody else, because like that's the closest that Ben and I get to feel to like being a parent. Mm. And knowing that like something that we dreamed up, there were a couple of times Ben and I stepped back and we're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite moments, are, if not my actual favorite moments, is when I'm not saying anything, I'm not doing anything, I get to sit back and listen to Alex sing, I get to sit back and listen to Bree sing, and I'm like, oh my God, like, who wrote this? Oh, I cannot believe this. It's such a rush.
Yeah. I had a real emotional experience when, you know, Bree's song, The Girl Beneath the Lasers, that's the only scene in the show that I'm not in, or one of the only scenes in the show I'm not in, and I just got to sit back and just watch it happen. I remember the first time you really sang that song. Mm. I was hiding under the stage management table crying because I just couldn't believe it.
I mean, we'd never heard anyone sing the material. Yeah, so like you're to hear it brought to life like that, it was so surreal. And not just the Lasers song, but all of Regina's songs. It was so wild to hear such an expert technician, you know, pour emotion into it. Like, it was awesome.
Well, y'all are really sweet and you always deflect from the attention. But I will say we have to really give credit where it's due, because we have this incredible marquee. We have producers behind this little show that could. Mm. And it's because it's a testament to who you are as performers and as people that so many people got behind you and put the money behind this project. And I just think, why would I not want to work with people like this. It's like, it's very talented what you've done. I don't know if you've been told, but I'm very proud to be a part of this because of who's leading the way. And you've surrounded the whole team with people who are caring and who know what they're doing and, you know, who understand and are open. And it's just a great experience. So let's give it credit.
Well, I hope it continues to be. And, you know, we'll just keep doing our best and like telling a story so people can laugh, you know? We just need to laugh.
Well, like it, I mean, I don't really know what else to compare it to except thinking about back like with like Little Shop or
title of show, maybe.
Title of show, Bat Boy, like these things that happen downtown that everybody's buzzing about because nobody's seen anything like it before. And it's like when I posted about this on my Instagram, so many people were like, I was wondering how that is. Getting tickets, getting tickets, getting tickets. I want this to run and run for forever.
Same here. I you know, it feels like beyond our wildest dreams the show's even happening. That's like, so I'm just every time we get to be here and do this is like, holy shit. So I don't know. I dream low so I can be surprised.
We're working on self-talk. Big lessons.
Now, this is something that I love to ask everybody. Brie, what was your Broadway debut?
Ragtime. Yes.
I loved it.
The revival, of course.
Yeah, Christiane was my first Audrey in Little Shop.
Oh, my gosh.
I love her so much.
Well, she taught me how to lead a show. I mean, she, to this day, it's like I try to model after her because she was so, first of all, she had just had Rhiannon. And so she was like 6 weeks out and just positive, full of life, so professional. We could have a podcast just on Christiane. I adore her.
I mean, too.
So supportive, present, like amazing. Yeah. That was a really cool experience.
Where were you when you got the call that it was going to Broadway?
I was in, well, I had done the Kennedy Center first. And so I was in Kansas City at the time where I'm from. And they called and I remember I just like broke down crying with my mom, even though I had done it and felt like it was mine already, but you know, I had to re-audition. So, and then once I got the word, it was like, oh my God, it was so fabulous. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it ran for 2 minutes. So, but a huge experience in my life, like a huge learning experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's always the ones that I love the most that don't last as long as they should.
So true. So true.
Yeah. But that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Ben, your Broadway debut was Newsies.
It sure was.
Where were you when you got the call?
I was in my apartment in Inwood, and we had done our out of town at Paper Mill, and it was, they were very clear, like this was not a, an out of town. It was just a regional production and
Liars.
Like, don't expect anything.
Liars.
I know, right? And and then at the end of that run, they were like, so we're not, nothing's happening, but we are doing the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but nothing's happening.
Liars.
Like, okay. So I knew we had this performance coming up, but like no other info. And then it was just one random afternoon and I got the call and I like ran around my apartment, called my mom.
How old were you?
22 or 23.
Babies.
Wow. Yeah. Full baby.
Yeah.
It was thrilling. I mean, it was just like the best moment ever. It's like the moment I've dreamt of my whole life.
Yeah. Also the fandom for Newsies was incredible.
I mean, I was a part of that fandom about the movie.
Same.
You know what I mean? So it was pretty surreal. I think I like watched the movie that day. I think I was like to celebrate, or maybe when I got the call for Paper Mill, I watched the movie and was like, I'm going to do this movie on stage. Wow.
They're like, what part? You know, the guy in the movie, the only one who can sing. There's like only two Newsies in the movie that can actually sing. It's
right.
Like, for all back I might. And I'm like, oh, there's a singer. And
then
like, open the gates. And I'm like,
Don't forget Patrick's mother.
Patrick's mother, who was unfortunately cut from the stage production.
That
I know. Don't worry.
Against humanity.
I've played the role, though, in stock. You know?
Just the best 16 bars that's ever been.
Wasn't that the woman from Sister Act?
Sister Mary?
The mousy one?
The mousy one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
Name, but yes.
I don't know.
Huh. I think it was.
Patrick, darling. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Since you and me, I am a dime. Yes. full belt.
God, it's so good.
Yeah.
I used to joke, I mean, I don't know if I can even say this anymore, but I used to go around town being like, look at that NILF. They'd be like, what? And I'd be like, Newsy, I'd like to. I know. Terrible, terrible. Alex, your Broadway debut was
Lysistrata Jones. Yeah, so much like Brie, it ran for 5 minutes and it was a big learning experience, but yeah. It was quite an experience.
Where were you when you got the call for that?
They told us after our closing performance off Broadway, they gathered us all together and said, you're going to Broadway.
Oh,
and we all,
cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we all cried and hugged and, you know, called our parents. And it was a wild moment. And it was such a whirlwind. We were there just a couple months later opening on Broadway. And then, like, you know, We ran for probably a little less than 2 months or something and closed. And I remember feeling like I'd been picked up by a cyclone and just like dropped in the middle of a field. And it took a long time for me to find my way back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't mean back to Broadway. I mean, like back to myself after feeling like, who am I? What do I do here? Mm. It was really crazy, but I'm very thankful for that experience. Mm-hmm. I think because of experiences like that, because of feeling left behind, I think that's part of what helped us write Regina Comet, is the feeling of feeling like no one's looking at you, or is your moment gone? Mm-hmm. You had your moment and now it's no longer here. Mm-hmm. It's all those things as performers, those crazy adventures you go on that I think all kind of found their way into this little showbiz love story.
It's so good. I want to come see it again. I just
do it.
I love all the characters' journeys so much. I identify with each of them in my own ways. And also it gives you hope. You know, it's it reminded me that all of this doesn't have to be so serious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, all of this is about joy and should be about joy. And you know, it was really beautiful for like being one of the first shows that I've gotten to see in, you know, years now, just to feel hope again. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of all of you. I adore you all so much. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Yeah, everybody, thank you for having us.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, thank you. Everybody, you must go see the show. A commercial jingle for Regina Comet. Where can they find tickets, Alex?
ReginaComet.com.
Come see the show. Message me on Instagram. Tell me what you think. Maybe I'll see you at the show too. All right. Thank you everybody for listening. And if you're interested in supporting the show, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. All right. We'll see you next time with Rory O'Malley. Ooh, exciting. Okay. Bye. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive. And swallow you soon.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.